Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, Dr. Janice Presser tells a really interesting story about motivation.
You might want to listen to a podcast. That might give you some good information, because anybody who's interested in learning, which is going to be any podcast audience, is very definitely motivated by mastery, by power.
Today on the show, Dr. Janice Presser tells a fantastic story about motivation, how to get it, how to keep it, and where to find it. Stay close.
Hey, it's Dr. Janice, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Podcast Movement in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Yay! Listen, you guys, I got to tell you, 2,000 people go to Podcast Movement, and it is a big deal. I got the opportunity to moderate a panel for Westwood One Podcasting, and then I did my own session on how to be a storyteller. But within all these 2,000 people, I met one person that I wanted to interview, and she's here now. So whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week by Roxana Ortega and her story about climbing Kilimanjaro. It was a tremendous story about her motivation and her stick-to-itiveness and, you know, getting through this grueling, grueling hike. So please go back and listen to that. But not today. Because today I am here with a woman that I chose out of all 2,000 people at this convention that I want to talk to. And her name is Dr. Janice Presser. And she brings forth the topic motivation. And what can I tell you? You guys know I'm motivated. And I know that a lot of you are motivated because you send me emails and I get feedback. So this is going to be a great topic. I'm really looking forward to talking to Dr. Janice about it. So do I call you Dr. Janice or do I just call you Janice?
Oh, you can call me anything that you want.
But people do call you Dr. Janice.
They do.
It's
they
like,
do.
Like Dr. Drew.
Right. Actually, I think it was back in the Dr. Ruth days when people would say to me, oh my God, you're like Dr. Ruth, only you do it all over the whole person, not just the sex organs.
Oh, how funny.
It was.
Did you like Dr. Ruth?
I did. She was the first to actually talk honestly about something that's important to all of us. I mean, what's more important than your intimate life?
Yeah, she was a groundbreaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you have a PhD, so I know that you must have mentors and people that you look to.
Yes, actually, I'm a systems scientist, so most of the people who are my old heroes, unless you're deep into physics or systems or things like that, you probably haven't heard of, and the fact is, for most of them, they mentored me in a fashion long after they had left this planet, so it was more through reading about them and what they did, and then very much my own peer group. Because, you know, I'm a technologist by trade, both a woman and the architect of a technology system. There aren't too many people who are technology architects and women. In fact, I don't actually know any others. So if anyone's listening, please contact me. It's very lonely out here.
What does it mean, a PhD in systems? Like, I don't...
Well, there are human systems. We call them families, businesses, our romantic relationships. I did quite a bit of family therapy back in the day for that. And there are also the technology systems that sometimes we interact with very well. And sometimes they distract us from the human parts. You know, if you've ever seen a couple who look like they're on a first date, only they look like they're on a first date, each of them with their own phone, you know, then you might get a sense of what I'm talking about.
But I have to tell you, you know, people do criticize, like, you know, look at that family over there at the table. Everybody's looking at their own phone. Nobody's looking at each other. Nobody's talking. But honestly, like, when there was newspapers, or I guess there's still newspapers, but I read the newspaper, and my ex-husband would sit across the table, and he'd read the newspaper. I'd have a section. He'd have a section. And we didn't talk. And so now you're on your phone. I mean, what's the difference, reading the paper or on the phone?
Well, the question is, do you have a shared environment?
Well, we're divorced.
Well, then I guess you do have a shared environment, though, because I know you have a child, right?
Yes, yes.
So that's sharing forever.
But I'm thinking that my analogy, you know, is very poor because we didn't last.
It's a fine analogy. The reason why it didn't last is a different issue.
Yes, that's right.
But in fact, I've always loved sharing, reading newspapers, passing them back and forth, because it's a shared environment and it leads to a common experience that you then talk about. You're only getting a snapshot of somebody's relationship when you're looking at them, say, you know, in the restaurant and they're all on their phones. They may all leave and be saying to each other, I just read this incredible thing and it's related to something that you do. I mean, we do that with people that we think of as our friends. We send them things that might interest them.
So now we use the phone. So, so be it.
That's fine as long as the relationship between our technology system works with our human systems. Sometimes I like to say our silicon-based life forms and our carbon-based life forms have to get along better together.
You are so bright. I'm super happy to be sitting down with you. And we're going to get to Janice's story in just a second. But before we do, I did want to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy. You know that. And check this out, you guys. Storyworthy is now on Google Podcasts. So it's right there on your phone, Google Podcasts. No excuse not to listen. And of course, you can always check me out on Stitcher, Spotify, all those places. But I recommend if you've got an Android, head over to Google Podcasts. That's the one. And I also wanted to mention to you guys to check out Story Smash if you're in Los Angeles, or at least go to the website, storysmashshow.com, because I'm telling you, we are having a blast. The game is just kicking butt, and I could not be more thrilled. All right, you guys, let's get to our storyteller right now. Dr. Janice is a founder and chief technology officer at TeamAbility. What the hell is TeamAbility? Well, here's what it is. She founded this company in 2001, and it is the first technology to describe and predict how people work together. It's very specific. And before that, in the 80s and 90s, you were a marriage and family therapist, which you would guide individuals and couples to make a better story of their lives. I can't even imagine. So you sit down with a couple, and the first thing you're just like, okay, what's going on?
And what's the story?
And they tell you a story.
And they do.
And they hate each other.
Well, or somewhere, or the life has gone out of it. Whatever it is, they are generally not telling the same story. There is no story in the story. There's no passion in the story. There's no reason for it being told. And sad to say, very often, there's no motivation to do anything. And so I used to end up having to say, you know, you have to make your decision. I am not going to be the one in the room who wants this marriage to work the most.
Wow, that's powerful.
And sometimes that kicks a little butt and gets people to say, all right, we need a new story. If you want to have a new story, then I can help you do a new story.
Yeah.
But I can't do that myself because stories are always about the engagement of people with other people.
Yeah, I actually have this in your bio, that you believe that storytelling is the act of co-creation between the storyteller and the audience, or in your example, between the people sitting in front of you in therapy and yourself.
Yes,
so
they're the audience.
That's where it happens.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Janice, you guys, has a fabulous TED Talk based on her book, Timing Isn't Everything, Teaming Is. How catchy is that, right? And you can find her over on Twitter at Dr. Janice. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for the very talented and educated Dr. Janice.
Thank you very much. Yeah, let's talk about motivation, because we actually had a great conversation about it. You know, people think about motivation as being one thing. I'm either really motivated or some days I wake up and I have no motivation at all. The thing is, you are always motivated. It's that it's a kind of like an eternal braid of three kinds of motivators. They're present in everyone, and I'll tell you about all of them, but understand something at the beginning, that for all of us, there's usually one motivator that's the strongest in us, and the other two are somewhat less important. The problem comes when we kind of ignore one completely, because we need all those three to be able to engage everyone else that we work with, that we love, that are part of our tribe, people that we work with. or whatever you're doing, however you want to engage people, they're critical. So the first one is power. Not power over people, but kind of mastery of your world. And that's hardwired into us. If you think back to when you were an infant, and I know you really can't, but you know, if you were a parent, you may have seen your baby being born. You know, the first thing we do at birth is we have to breathe. You know, that's where we cry, because we're breathing, because there's air going through, so you can hear the sound coming out. That is our first demand on us, and that is to meet the challenge of actually breathing and living. And as we get older, you know, it becomes kind of a mastery of our environment. So if you think about, 6, 7, 8, 9 year olds, what do you do when they come home from school? You know, you say, well, what did you learn today? And, or they tell you spontaneously, they get excited about mastering things, you know, riding a bike, skating, making things, whatever it is, they get excited about it. And if we're lucky, we don't lose that for our whole lifetime. In fact, if you're bored and you're feeling unmotivated, go try and learn something. In fact, you might want to listen to a podcast. That might give you some good information, because anybody who's interested in learning, which is going to be any podcast audience, is very definitely motivated by mastery, by power. And when that feels good, when we can actually put that to work in our daily lives, then we get a real deep satisfaction. I mean, mastery is a great word for it. We really feel like we're, you know, master of the universe in that little tiny section that we've mastered. Keep that in mind, because that's an important part of the story that I'm going to tell you, which is actually how I got to understand a whole lot of this. This stuff on motivation, by the way, that was probably a good 8 or 10 years of research in my life, with a wonderful research team. Kudos to them. So that's the first one. The second big motivator is belief in things that are bigger than ourselves. And so when we're very much motivated by belief, we love to listen to inspirational stories. And so many of the story worthy, your own story, Christine, is so, it's just inspiring. It literally lets us breathe that sigh of relief that no matter who we are, we can achieve something that's bigger and brighter, make our own story, have our own life, all of those things that propel us into a really glorious feeling future. They really motivate us to keep going. And some days we need that. Now, by the way, people who are motivated pretty strongly by both of those very often become entrepreneurs. I know, you know, for myself, and I am an entrepreneur. That's teamability.com is not my first ride on the pony. By any means. And I'm not going to talk about those, and I hope you can't find them on the internet anymore. But people who are like that want to feel powerful in the world by inspiring other people to be better. And so many people who tell stories, just like you, Christine, are people who are strongly motivated by that. But there's a third motivator, and particularly for people, and teamability.com was really built for business leaders. It's to help people hire better and construct their teams better and things like that. So they're all motivated by power, often by belief, and almost never by the third one, and that's affiliation. So affiliation is something that we also developed. It's hardwired into us. You know, when we are a few months old and we start to recognize that it's not just us in the world, that there's somebody that we actually look at and we know is the person who comes when we're crying and it hurts in your tummy, or you're wet or cold, and that takes care of you. That's the beginning of our desire for affiliation, for actually being able to form relationships. And that also develops over life. You know, we form our tribe, the kind of the street crew, our girlfriends, the Boy Scout troop, all of the youth groups that adults try and organize for us. But we always are searching for our people. That's so clear when you look at any high school and you see the different tribes, you know, they're whatever, based on whatever their interest is. And for many people who are so overcome with the desire to be very instrumental in the world, to express that power and mastery over the world, we can forget that there are a lot of people whose prime motivator is just to be liked enough to be part of a group that cares about them, that really is truly friends, not friends in the Facebook sense, although they can start there, but where they feel that belongingness and that real caring that comes in a group. Now, that goes on through life also. So after we've, you know, got our posse when we're young, hopefully affiliation then later brings us back to affiliate very powerfully with, well, you can have as many as you want. I'm not going to make any judgment, but it's usually the most efficient to have one of each or one of the same. That part doesn't matter. But to have two people who come together and form a very primary relationship. That kind of relationship, when it's very strong, and we call that love in our culture, although however you express that, that's fine. That allows, when that's really satisfying, the ability to bring a third person in. Those are babies. That's how we kind of keep our population going. So whether you have one the old-fashioned way, that is by making your own, or you've adopted or brought in children through any other way, that's, you're acting on your desire also to affiliate. Although, of course, it's also very empowering to raise a child. That's really quite an amazing accomplishment, as we were sharing before as mothers, and it's also very very inspiring, because, you know, Carl Sandburg said a baby is God's belief that the world should go on. Of course, I may be slightly misquoting that, but I think that's the exact one. We believe that there will be a future. And while we might, in our private thoughts, sometimes say, oh my God, where is this world going to? In fact, by the act of raising young to adulthood, we're actually affirming that belief. So this all works really well. And people get motivated if they have a way to satisfy their motivation in a very, very positive way, something that brings something good to the world. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work that way to the story. So this is, I developed this story as a way of trying to learn more about what people thought about motivation when it's not given a healthy outlook. So here's a typical story. And if you live, I live in Philadelphia now, but I'm originally from New York, so maybe I'm more oriented towards big cities. And I hope this doesn't happen in yours, wherever you live. But you know what? It happens in any place I've ever been on a pretty much a daily basis. A young person, if we're going to be stereotypical, it's almost more likely to be male than female. So that's one place that I hope women don't catch up on, because it doesn't work. Walks in to a convenience store at 2 o'clock. In the morning, it's dark outside, there's a light, there's one lone clerk there, and the person walks through the door, maybe walks over to the refrigerator section and grabs a Dr. Pepper, and then crosses and stops at the candy thing there, long enough to grab a couple of candy bars, goes up to the clerk, and then pulls a gun and says, "Give me 3 cartons of cigarettes and all your money." Now, most of us, when faced with something like that, are going to do it. Life is very important. Nothing is more empowering than living. It's the same as when you fought for that first breath. So the clerk hands over the cigarettes, all the money, and the young thief walks towards the door very quickly. And then at the last minute, they turn. They shoot the clerk and kill them. Yeah, so I ask, and it's always interesting more for me sometimes to ask people who are in law enforcement or are attorneys, and I ask them the question, why does this young man do this? It almost doesn't make sense. Now, they came in for money, well, it's money primarily, and maybe got attracted by the other items. Why do they do that? What do you think? You're shaking your head. And that's a common response. Any thoughts? So sometimes people say, well, they might, you know, especially attorneys who've our criminal attorneys will say, well, they don't want to leave a witness. The fact is, that guy was too scared to be a witness. This is going to get categorized under my worst nightmare, and I'm never going to work in a convenience store ever again. In fact, it's very simple. If you go back and you think about what the motivators are, this is someone who is motivated by power, but didn't have a way to express it in a positive way. You express your power by going out and developing something. I mean, you've engaged an amazing audience, Christine. Look at all your listeners. Thank you, everybody. Are here because they feel drawn to the power. This is someone with no other way to express power. Now, here's the thing. When we empower ourselves through our own discoveries, our own activities, the things that we do to draw other people close to us and to make change in the world, positive change in the world, that satisfaction is enduring. The satisfaction when you, well, steal power, and that's exactly what I've come to call it, stolen power, lasts much shorter. In fact, in this case, about 6 seconds. I think that's the time to walk from the register to the door. And then when you feel that your power is slipping away, you up the ante, and the only powerful thing you have left to do is to take a life, which is ultimately the power of life and death. And sad to say that there are many, many people who will spend the rest of their lives in prison because there was no positive way for them to express power. Now, what can we do about that? So, you know, my whole objective in this was to understand what are the outlier cases? What are the worst possible things? And how do you bring people back? Because, you know, while I gave you a pretty chilling story, the fact is that person is no different than, let's say, the new manager or executive who yells and screams and demands and bullies and bosses and may do create Me Too events in their organization. They, too, do not have a way to express their desire for mastery in a positive and productive way. And so, you know, how do you get around this is that when we understand what drives us and we understand how some people are very similar to us and how some are driven by other things, we can start to think in terms of how do we create an environment that allows all people to be motivated no matter what it is that motivates them. See, in large organizations, the power people rise to the top. If they forget or never really understood that for most of the rest of the world, it's enough to have a comfortable place where you can go, feel that you have friends, people who like you, a boss who respects you for what you do and isn't always ragging on you. Well, if we can do that for everyone, create opportunities for everyone, then we have the power to actually change the world. You know, I can't help but think that, and I actually verified this, I consulted a long time ago at a very, very large prison when they were doing a study on young prisoners. So they were about 16 to 21 years old. Do you know that there was not one who could read adequately and some could barely put two words together? It was clear that no one had ever empowered them to operate within the world. Now, empowerment, you know, you might think of, well, they should get an MBA. No, it would be enough to just have a skill where you can have people that like you, that respect you, and that build you up instead of tearing you down. You know, it's about teaming together. That's what it is. And that's how we can co-create a new story in our families, at work, in our communities. And, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could do that in the world?
Dr. Janice, this is great information. This is really powerful stuff. So, motivation. So, it's about power, belief, and affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you explain the narcissist? Where are they stuck? Like Trump.
Well, I never diagnose someone who I haven't met, and I'm not about to start. But I think it's pretty evident that our president, like all of our politicians, is motivated by power. That's very clear. I mean, why would you ever go through the difficulty of running for office and all of that if you didn't desire to make real change? I think he's also very much motivated by belief. Now, you may not agree with him, and oh, I'm getting such a face here, but but you ask, so I will tell you. Do you know, in the United States, in order to get elected president, all you have to do is inspire through your belief motivation, and it's very clear he inspires people, maybe not you, maybe not me, maybe not the listeners, but that's okay. All you have to do here is inspire more than 50% of the voting population, the people who actually go out to the polls, in enough states to win the Electoral College. That's how our system works. And if you're thinking we should change the system, let me remind you that if we actually had a constitutional convention, people who don't agree with you would also have the right to make changes. So it could go either way.
Interesting.
But that's what I think. So those are two clear kinds of motivators. That's very different than what you might think of as the way that you affiliate. Do you need to be liked by everyone? You know, that's difficult to get a handle on, but clearly the president enjoys it when he gets applause like any of us. And so his motivation is extremely strong. He gets the affiliation with his followers. So you can, you know, it's easy to not recognize somebody who's powerful and clearly motivates people if they don't motivate you to act. That's because you've got a block. Many people have a block based on a belief, like, I don't want to support you because you support whatever it is that you disagree with. We don't have to agree with what someone says to get a pretty clear picture of how would we motivate them.
I'm like clenching my microphone right now.
I know.
I just feel like Donald Trump doesn't have the belief part. Like, I feel like he's got the power, mm-hmm. and he's super narcissistic, and he is only believing to the extent that it will please the people he wants to be affiliated with. I mean, he was pro-choice for years and years and years.
Sure.
But now the affiliation, who he wants people, now the people he wants to like him, they're pro-life. So now he's changed his narrative.
That's right.
So does he have any belief? No, I'm just saying.
Like,
don't think he has any beliefs except for going from power to who can I get under my power?
That's
it's like Hitler.
Well, I'm going to tell you that in the same way, Hitler pretty much, and so if you look at the old movies and is definitely not high on my list of people I'd like to have a conversation with, but he inspired the people in his country to the extent that they followed him.
So you can inspire with hate.
You can inspire in a lot of different ways. So there is no, you know, again, if you want to have a positive outcome, he's had a positive outcome. Getting elected is, I think we'd all have to agree, that's for the person who wins, that's a positive outcome. For people who believe, you know, he's tapping into the belief did at the time of election, tapped into it with enough people to win the Electoral College.
Right. But here's what I want to say. The people that he tapped into, I feel, are the people who have all these problems that they never got motivated the right way to make good choices. And in other words, who in the world would vote for somebody who has absolutely no experience in public policy, has probably never volunteered for anything in his life, who absolutely, so in other words, I'm saying like he is inspiring this group of people who are already have their own set of problems, so they latch on to him because they hate the other candidate. It's like Trump is like saying, I don't care. It doesn't matter if you don't like me, you don't like her more.
And that will often get it for you. It's absolutely true. You see, to look at the behavior of other people and discount it is a problem also. We have really no idea why any given person makes any decision unless we are very, very close to them. And then we might have some ideas. So people will, voting behavior is based on what did someone tap into in you. So the fact is, you just have to inspire enough people that way. For what many people said, even those who supported Hillary Clinton and voted for her, they gave different reasons. And many of the reasons that I heard were, I don't like her, but we're voting for a Supreme Court. Now, that's a belief in a higher purpose that she didn't inspire, or they're reporting that she didn't inspire that in them, but to them was a higher value. Those people were clearly motivated by a belief in something abstract, and so their behavior reflected that. But, you know, the wonderful thing about being in the United States is that we are all considered equal, and our vote is one per person. God, I hope it's one per person and they're all real voters, but if we take that on faith, we will have people who are motivated by the same things that we're motivated by, but will make a different decision based on that.
And people can change their minds.
Absolutely, when the motivation changes, or when you feel like this is not satisfying. So if you voted, for instance, if you were in an area where all the manufacturing had left and you were motivated by the promise of bringing your jobs back, and that doesn't happen, you may very well flip the opposite way. You're still motivated by your desire to have that job.
But some people are so stubborn, they will never give it up. Even if Trump gives their country to Putin, even if Trump literally destroys our democracy, some people would rather see a liberal Democrat burn than watch our country go down. Like, how do we switch their motivation? How do we do that? In other words, I feel like we're talking to some of these Trump supporters, I feel like are so insecure and they're so messed up on their own that we'll never get through to them because everybody needs a private psychologist. It's like everybody, it's like somebody, you got to go to everybody's house, Janice, and you got to talk to them and say like, let's change your motivation. Have you ever read a newspaper? Do you know what's going on? Or I guess they're in their own narrative and they're doing their.
Do you know what the best way to do this?
Please tell me.
I would have loved to tell this to the Democrat Party prior, but get inspiring candidates. I've actually predicted the outcome of elections since doing this. It's been pretty easy. You just compare the two on their ability to inspire people. We love presidents who inspire us. And all you have to do is have more than 50% in enough states. I mean, look at President Obama. Here he was, young. People said he was inexperienced.
He's a dream.
He was magnificent. And as soon as you heard his voice, and if you heard him even before at the prior convention, you said, wow, he gave literally hope. It was all visionary, a very, very strong, inspirational person. And to this day, people talk back to that now.
Oh, I dream about Obama.
Well, I don't know that he wants to give another 8 years of his life to running again. But there are other people who may emerge and be very inspirational.
Okay, so listen.
All they have to do is be inspirational to enough people.
So you're calm. You're so calm. And this must be part of your training. What shakes you up? Like, what makes me mad? Like, or what makes you mad? In other words, when, I can go from cold to hot in 1 second if somebody talks about Trump. I mean, I just can't believe what's happening to our country. So what makes you mad? What moves your needle?
I actually have a very, very stable inner life that if I didn't have it, I would never have been able to be an entrepreneur. That's one of the things that Team Ability measures. It's straight out of physics. It's coherence. It's just like maintaining your focus like laser lights do. The laser is coherent light. And it allows me to sit back and say, we may have X number of years, and maybe there are some things that I'm not going to like, but I can just sit back and say, some things are... I'm going to go back to something that's bigger than any individual. And for us, it's the Constitution. It's the separation of powers. It's all of the things that make America a place where a complete takeover without, police state type takeover becomes much less likely. Just listen to any of the serious news shows.
So you're saying you're not worried?
I am not worried.
Wow.
I'm sleeping. I'm sleeping. Okay. Do I not like things? Of course there are things that I don't like, things that are irate. I mean, I lived through the women's movement. I lived through the civil rights movement. I thought we had settled these things a long time ago.
Oh,
and
no.
Boom, we're right back. We're right back again, and we're still protesting in the streets.
So let me ask you, have you gone to any protests?
I try to limit my participation at my age and size. I don't want to get stampeded.
Well,
but
listen,
yes,
LA, I've been to like six protests, and unfortunately, we're getting so good at it in Los Angeles. Like, it's super organized.
Oh, yeah.
It's better. Every march I go to, speaker systems is better. The speaker system is better. The stage is better. Mm-hmm. Like, we're getting good at it. And I don't want to get good at protesting.
Do you know, yes, it reminds me back to, to when we would whip out the guitars and we'd write songs and we were singing them. And it was a long time ago. And there were other things to be fought. And we're still fighting the fight. You know what? What motivates us to fight that fight, no matter where we're coming from, is our desire to leave a better world. Now, if we can just open that conversation up and acknowledge that each other, we're coming from a place that's real to us, sometimes very real, then at least we have a place to co-create a story, maybe something that actually can bring that hope back and that inspiration back to the country and bring people together. At the very least, I think it's time, and I hope this is going to be the first Thanksgiving where families sit down at the table, I mean those extended families, and instead of killing each other by the time the appetizers are over, that they open their minds and their hearts and acknowledge that everybody else at that table is coming from a place that's motivating them. Can you calmly help them assess where they are in terms of what they've gotten, what their hope was, and has it been fulfilled? Well, you can do that much more effectively if you tap into what motivates your family member and do it in a calm way. Nobody is motivated by feeling like they're being bullied.
You're a bigger woman than I am. I'll tell you that right now, because my temper, I just can't, I don't have that patience. But I guess that's your education, of course.
No, you know what? It's,
life experience.
Education is, I think, is so highly overrated.
Yeah.
In some way. You know, if you're a young student, please don't spend a lot of money getting a PhD unless you really want a very narrow thing.
Very specific niche.
Very specific. And I actually got out of this in looking at the entire story of how do we work together? Because when you start to look at things from a more global viewpoint, then you start to think of, well, things that work in one place then have a better chance of working in another place. We had a wonderful, in our last protest here in Philadelphia, which I think it was Monday, when our vice president came to speak, there was a lineup of 100 women in their Handmaid's Tale outfits.
Fabulous.
They were quiet, and it was effective. It reminded me of the Malcolm X protest when a line of men in white shirts, dark suits, and those bow ties stood silent. Sometimes silence is a really effective way to start a whole new story.
And to motivate people.
And to motivate people.
We don't have a lot of time, but here's what I want to touch on. So there's a lot of women I know, and men, that all they want to do is they want to get a partner. They want a girlfriend. They want a boyfriend. They want to get married. So they seem to spend all their time trying to do that. And everybody's frustrated because the dating sites suck and they can't meet a good guy and you can't meet a good whatever. You can't. And everybody's frustrated. So what do you tell the person that is at this point where they just can't find the mate they want? What should they be doing? What should be motivating them?
Outsource it. And here's what I mean. If you're judging people, swiping left or right, on a moment's look, you're not rejecting or accepting a person. In fact, all of the interesting studies on this actually say that people who agree that they want to meet are not 100% likely to even meet. People aren't even taking the first step. Sometimes the best thing to do is to just accept the fact that you probably don't know who would be good for you. So two things are important. One is get yourself just outside. Get out of your house. Other people are outside. Go to places.
Nobody's going to knock on your door.
That's
or
right.
Drop on your windshield as you're driving to 7-Eleven.
Exactly. And the meetup.com is a great place to find people who are at least remotely related to your tribe because they like something that you like. Go to something. If it's political action, go there. If it's technology, go there. There's so many different ones. And there'll be at least people who, if you meet and it's not romance, it can lead to friendship and they may have the friend.
Exactly.
And the other thing is you have people who know you and love you with warts and all. Right? You know, they know that you're great at some things, you're not so great at the other things, and they love you anyway. They are probably attuned on a very deep level to somebody who would be good for you because they care about you. So let them know, I'm a passive candidate for romance. I need a little help from my friends. You know, the Beatles said it, and so you know it is true. I get by with a little help from my friends, and they are your best because they care about you.
Yeah.
And unless you're in some competition with them for the same romance, so you might want to have a friend with the opposite sexual orientation as you do because they won't be interested in the one that you're interested in. They'll still be attuned to kind of like bringing you a gift.
Mm.
And there's nothing nicer than a relationship that starts without expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes a true gift.
This is great information. I think that people, you know, also when you're looking for a mate and you're going crazy and you can't find who you want to be with and rejection and all that, don't you have to turn to yourself inside and say, well, what do I like to do? I'm going to play more tennis. I'm going to go out and see more comedy. I'm going to, you can't let all these things stand in the way. You can't just let it. So what do people, in other words, I guess I'm trying to go back to the three things you started with. So to gain your power, it's like you have to create your own space, your own world, and then let people come to you. Don't push out so much. Let people draw in.
Draw them in.
Give them a second. Let everybody breathe.
Exactly. Start something. Start something positive. Start it in your neighborhood. Start it at your kids' school.
Right.
Start doing something. You will attract people. That's much more exciting. Someone who truly is attracted to what you're doing is attracted to who you really are inside, not the fact that you're cute,
right,
or you've, you know, have drive a whatever. Or
I like earlier you said, you know, that adults create these tribes for kids. And what is that about? They're trying to recreate their own childhood or trying to fix what didn't work well with their own life?
I mean, we have so many wonderful formal things for kids, scout troops and youth groups and all of that. And we don't really have them for ourselves in the sense of finding the people we really like to do things with, that we like to talk with, that we like to dream with, that we like to co-create our stories with. You know, get out there. Really, when you feel needed by your tribe, whatever you're doing, whether you're cleaning up the highway or you're, you know, running in the woods or doing some act of charity or something together, you become much more attractive. The reason is when we lose ourselves in something that we're doing, we begin to relax. And that makes us sharper to other people.
It's attractive. It's very attractive.
It's very attractive. And what's unattractive to almost everyone is the super anxious people at the bar looking around waiting for, you know, it's the last dance, last chance.
Yeah.
And
beer goggles on.
And feeling desperate, that's probably the least effective place.
I think you are fascinating, and I'm so happy we sat down. Thank you so much, because I think this is going to help some folks out there.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
I really do. Excellent. All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up right about now. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to Storyworthy today. Tweet Dr. Janice over on Twitter, at Dr. Janice, and let her know that you like her story. And, of course, you can tweet me over there as well, at Storyworthy. All right, I want to thank all the sponsors on the show today. Really, you guys, please check out my sponsors, because when you check them out, they send me money. That's how it works. It goes around just like that. So when you support my sponsors, you are supporting me. Yay! Thank you so much. And I want to thank everybody over at Wondery Media, including Hernan Lopez, and everybody on the Wondery team. And one more time, on behalf of the very talented Dr. Janice Presser, thank you so much.
And thank you.
My name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.